For me, I'm not ready to go home and start my vacation. Definitely not. And, you know, I texted Joe before the game, and we spoke about it. We want to be here, and we believe our time is now. It's going to take a lot, but that's just the way our mindset is. We know we're leaders of this team.
That's right, man. It's NBA Australia. It is Tuesday, May 8th. I'm your host, James Clemens. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and a bunch of other places that want to pay me money. And I'm here hanging out in Larry Armour Studios, overlooked by that Sean Kemp poster and that goddamn Alan Crabb bobblehead in New York City, New York, making sure you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball. In the NBA today, just while repping Australia a little bit, mate, which is what we do. So today's show wraps a massive night of the NBA playoffs with LeBron owning the Raptors one more time and sending them home with a fucking broom in hand. The Sixers-Celtics getting even more interesting, and we got a fired coach over there in Detroit. We also have playoff editions of the usual dumbassery. That means yeah, nah, the unpopular opinion of the day, and Outback Takehouse. Get some shrimp with your takes. And as we do every day, we've got the Australian Player Watch, where we check in and see what the Australians got up to. We also preview tonight's massive, massive win or go home game fives. And it's Tuesday, so we add to the Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot Random Bloke Going Ham of the Week Award. And we'll finish off with a brand new Joe Ingles HR Manager. Woo! It's classic. It's episode 114. It's NBA Australia. Let's go!
Oi, 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 it's old mate Dally over here. That's right, Matty Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the shark attack.
You better, because we're back. It's NBA Straya. It is the daily whip around where we talk about anything that's worth talking about. And obviously we've got the two playoff games from last night that we're going to wrap. And also we have news out of Detroit Rock City that the Pistons have parted ways, i.e. shit-canned Stan Van Gundy from basically both roles. He's like El Presidente of basketball operations and head coach. Just a week after they were like, man, we're good here. It's fine. It's totally fine. And then in typical Stan Van Gundy fashion, turns around after this is all broken and goes, you know what? Man, shit, son. I was able to step away from the executive side and just coach. Instead, they shit-canned woke Ron Jeremy anyway. So Stan is done, and that's kind of it. It's weird. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but, you know, we'll get that into the year now. So let's move on to the playoff games from last night. Some absolute bloody pearlers, I'll tell you that much. Let's do it. So we had Celtics at Sixers last night. That is Celtics 92 at Sixers 103. Sixers get one back, and the Celtics go up 3-1 instead of 3-0, instead of sending him home. So, woo, comeback game from the Sixers, but this was really a weird game dictated by the refs. And, you know, the old NBA giving the refs the old wink, wink, nudge, nudge on the old, hey, blokes, we'd be pretty stoked if, say, most of the Boston starters were in foul trouble by the second quarter, huh? It's the old David Stern trick. And he was there as well, so you just know that he's on the old dog and bone to, Tony Brothers and Scott Foster. Classic. Anyway, so this was a crazy one, man. We had three quick fouls on Tatum. Five Celtics had two fouls within the first quarter and a half. 28 fouls for the Celtics overall. That's the most fouls the Celtics have been called for in any game this entire playoffs. They're actually averaging the fifth fewest fouls a night out of the playoff teams. That's crazy, man. The second quarter, there was 9-1. Woo! So anyway, thing is, they both ended up taking 26 foul shots in the end and it ended up at 28 to 23 fouls. So look, Boston, you can try to blame it. It's like, oh, dude, but it came in early, dude. Come on, come on. Hey, they were fouling him early. And like, that's how it goes, man. It sucked, but what are you going to do? Instead for the Celtics, I'd blame the turnovers. 15-8, Sixers scored 16 points off those turnovers. Celtics scored 3. Off the eight Sixers turnovers. And the points in the paint, man, the Sixers had 52 to the Celtics 30. So, yeah, look, it was a pretty nice complete game by the Sixers, considering they were, you know, the Celtics lost Shane Larkin to an injury. Tatum was obviously in foul trouble. Horford was like kind of like the only man standing still out there. Marcus Morris was in foul trouble. Marcus Smart was in foul trouble. And still the Celtics, look, Tatum ended up with 24 and 4. Marcus Smart, dude, he ended up with 14 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and those 5 fouls. Scary Terry. Terry Rozé wasn't that scary away from Boston once more. 11 points on 4 of 11 shooting. And Big Al Horford, 10 points, 10 rebounds, 3 blocks. Pretty bloody good as usual. Classic Big Al. 17 for Mook Morris, who had some great shit talk with Joel Embiid, throwing him the 3-zip in the middle of the game while Embiid shit talking. Pretty good. And Jaylen Brown, the other half of the Double J's, he had a rough one, I'll tell you. That's a rough one right there. 2-6 from the field, ends up with 8 points. Not great there, Jaylen. Not great. So look, the Celtics felt a little bit out of sort of sorts, and that's probably to do with the fouls, and they really just couldn't get into any sort of flow, and still they made it a little bit interesting towards the end, and the Sixers just sort of gave them the old don't argue and held them off. Most of that was thanks to TJ McConnell. What? Yes, that's right. The little kid who looks like he's been sent from the fucking Hoosiers film and like 1950s Indiana basketball. He had a career high 19 points. Ends up with 7 rebounds, 5 assists as well in only his second start of the season. They go, all right, fuck it. We're sick of Robert Covington. TJ, it's you, baby. And he's like, okay, thanks, coach. In I go. I'll do good. 19 points, mate. He looked fucking steady as well. He's just, there's a lot more ball movement when he's out there too. Ball movement, he's cutting off fucking screens. He's doing these tiny little backdoor stuffs. He's driving and kicking. It's pretty good. Pretty bloody good, TJ McConnell. Also hit a 3. And the fucking bench went wild. It was awesome. The best part was the Sixers fans was like basically chanting for him. I'm not sure if that's some weird racism shit. And when it's Philly, you can probably always like slew pretty hard towards that. So yeah. Same with Boston though, to be honest. So whatever. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, 19, 13 and 5. We'll talk about him in the Australian Player Watch. Joel Embiid, 15 and 13, 6 of 15 from the field. So 15 points on 15 shots. Kobe! 7-foot Kobe over there. 2 of 5 from 3 as well. But it was really Dario the Saric. Dario the homie Saric. 25 points. Easily played the best game of his playoffs. At a very, very, very handy time. Did the homie. 25 points. 8 rebounds. 4 assists. Fuck ton of weird little hustle plays, man. He looked up for it. Did Dario. Nice little back cuts here and there. Offensive rebounds. Just getting in amongst shit. Speaking of shit, JJ Redick had a crap one. 7 points, 3 of 11 shooting, 1 of 7 from 3. Gotta hope that he bounces back. And the Ilyasova and Belly crew, 15 points between them, 4 of 17 shooting. Not great there. And yet the Sixers still won. That's crazy, man. Speaking of Robert Covington, though, at the top, he was 0 of 14 across games 1 and 3. And then this one went 1 of 7. Wow. That's 1 of 21 in 3 games, Robert Covington. Fucking hell. But it didn't really matter. Philly just played a very, very good game. And as we kind of expected them to in each of the other games, they just got over the hump this one with a lot of help from the refs. People might want to complain about it, but sometimes that sort of shit, it just happens, especially in big games like that where the NBA like, hey, it'd be really cool if this went a little bit longer. What do you reckon, Conspiracy Bane?
I believe that you are correct.
Thank you. Raptors at Cavs, and this is the second game of the night. Look, Toronto, you're a fucking joke, mate. Sorry, not sorry, but you fucking suck. Like, Jesus. So, 128-93, Cavs sweep Toronto. The LeBronto Raptors. The Raps have now lost 10 straight in the playoffs to the Cavaliers. That is absolutely fucking unreal. And the Cavs go to their fourth straight Eastern Conference Finals now. The craziest part was, man, the Raptors were up 38-36 in the second quarter here. And then the Cavs went, actually, turns out we've got LeBron. He's pretty good. And they finished on a 12-zip run, 23-7 run in the first half. And that basically fucking did it, man. Like, that was fucking all she wrote for the poor little Raptors there. It's tough. When I say tough, I mean not tough at all. Costco Kobe also got ejected at the end of the third quarter for trying to decapitate Jordan Clarkson. That was pretty funny. But look, the Cavs, they just went, right, fuck you. And they shot amazingly. So the other four Cavaliers, as you might remember from that SNL skit, They shot like fucking bad motherfuckers too. So Raptors, look, to break it down, Costco Kobe was going okay, and then in the second half just fell off a fucking cliff and then got ejected. 13 points, 5 rebounds, 0 of 0 from 3. But I thought he changed his game and he could shoot threes now. Oh, fuck you, Costco Kobe. Big booty car Larry also had a shit one. Big old balls the rest of the series, but not in this one. 5 points, 10 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 of 7 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3. They started Freddie Van Vliet and Serge Ibaka, and it didn't really help. Serge ended up with 12 points and 1 rebound. Serge, 1 rebound? That's some Brook Lopez shit. Come on, man. My name is Jonas Valanciunas. Came off the bench for 18 and 5. The only one of the Raptors show any fucking fight. OG Anunoby, their rookie, 2 points in his 20 minutes. CJ Miles did CJ Miles things, which is classic CJ Miles for 13 points. But yeah, look, man, the Raptors, that was all on them. Just not good, not good at all. They shit the bed like a colicky 2-year-old, I'll tell you that much. It was fucking embarrassing. Like, you just felt bad for them and felt embarrassed for, like, Toronto fans. Like, the best part was they didn't cut to Jurassic Park too many times. Oh, wait, yes, they did. I love sad Canadians. So, well, who booed our team, eh, bro? Oh, wait, that was a Kiwi. Ooh, the thing about Coroparks. There we go. That is, that's the Canadians. So for the Cavs, every Cleveland starter was shooting over 60%. They went up 23 in the second. And, like, the Cavs, oh, in the third. And just absolutely crushing it. The 4 other Cavs last night, as mentioned, 66 points on 25 of 35 shooting from the field. So we may have presupposed that, look, the rest of them might shit the bed. Yep, we were wrong. So they were fucking great. And LeBron as well led from the front. 29 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, a block, 12 of 19 from the field, plus 28 for the game. Kevin Love had 23 points, 6 rebounds. Kyle Korver had 16, goes 4 of 5 from 3. Dude has shot 13 to 24 from 3 over the past 3 games. Ho-ho! JR was smoking hot in the first half. He had 15 points, 6 of 6 from the field, 3 of 3 from 3. Didn't take another shot the rest of the game. Just wanted to stay perfect. Classic JR. George Hill had 12 points and 5 assists. Jeff Green was also out there doing Jeff Green shit. And Chetty Osman went in instead of Rodney Hood. Ty Lue just out there going fucking, oh, fuck you. And then it breaks that Rodney Hood refused to go in the game in the fourth quarter. He's like, hey, man, you put fucking Chetty in there for me. How about you all eat a dick? And then the rest of the Cavs are like, hey, Rodney, shut the fuck up, mate. We're going to kick your ass. And yeah, don't expect to see Rodney Hood fucking fronting the media or doing anything too much in game one, I'd say, of the Eastern Conference Finals. Might be a bit of a team-instigated ban, I reckon, there. So there you go. Clarkson also got some oddly important points in the second quarter and then got whomped by Costco Kobe in the third and got him ejected. So that was pretty good. But this was just straight up vicious, man. Like, the second quarter, the Cavs outscored them by 12 and then they did the same in the third. They just went, actually, fuck you. While LeBron was hitting crazy fallaway shots from behind the backboard, doing these amazing spin passes to Kevin Love and stuff. It was fucking great. It was like, I did not expect the Cavs just to flex so hard in a closeout game, but you know what? They did. So there you go. I kind of like it. Don't have to watch this shitty fucking boring ass Raptors team anymore. So give me a 7 gamer though between Sixers and Celtics and I'll be happy, you know? That's how it goes. So let's move on to the NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's a knife.
That was a knife stuck firmly in the back of the Toronto Raptors' LeBron James. Holy shit. Spin move passes, shooting from behind the backboard. Come on, man. 29-11-8. Claims his 10th consecutive playoff win over the Raptors going back to 2016. In that streak, he's averaged 33 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, and shot 56.7% from the field. That is unbelievable. And coolly enough, a LeBron James team has now swept an opponent in 6 straight playoffs. The only NBA player in NBA history to sweep a best of 7 series in more than 2 consecutive seasons are LeBron and teammates of LeBron. That's pretty good. So that's pretty awesome. That was a fucking knife right there, LeBron. But come on. The performance of the night might have actually gone to TJ McConnell. LeBron's was spectacular. TJ McConnell, though, a career high 19 points, just absolutely fucking crushed it out there in his minutes, getting chanted at by the crowd, TJ, TJ. Career high 19 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Absolutely fucking amazing. Good job, TJ. And good job, LeBron. You know where both of those performances go to?
This is going straight to the pool room.
It really, really did. How about old mate no mates, though? Who's got no mates today?
Old mate no mates.
Who's got no mates today? That'd be Scott Foster and Tony Brothers in Boston. I mean, they might have plenty of mates in Philly, but man, definitely no mates in Boston. That was a rubbishy fucking officiated game there in Philly last night. And look, you know, we'd usually throw the Raptors in here, but that's going to be saved for the next bit. So the refs in Boston, even though, so this game was in Philly, but the refs in Boston, they've got no mates, no mates. Old mate, no mates. Just imagine, it's going to be pretty fun to see how they go in Boston for game 5. Reckon Scott Foster and Tony Brothers won't be on that one. Moving on then, who was the bitch ass of the night? Who was the bitch ass of the night? It was your Toronto Raptors. Holy shit, damn, man. I thought they might come out and punk the Cavs, get back on their feet, rock them around a little bit. Nope. Gave up insane shooting numbers, rolled over like my dog Larry when he needs a belly rub. He's like, ah. He's like, Jimmy, rub my belly. I'm like, all right, over you go. And he's like, oh, yes, motherfucker. That was the Raptors last night. They shouldn't be allowed to be called the Raptors after that. The Raptors are smart, vicious, and fucking awesome. They need to be called like the Toronto Diplodocuses or some shit. Big, nice, soft underbelly, long necks. Fucking sauropod motherfuckers. 18 points, like, between Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan there. Anytime you can pay $40 million between your two stars and have them score 18 points in a closeout game in the semifinals of the Eastern Conference and lose in a sweep, you got to do it. All right, better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. This is also still better than Lonzo Ball and better than Markel Fultz. Who was better than Lonzo Ball and Markel Fultz last night? It was Jason Tatum once more, 24-4. Shot 50% from the field, was an absolute ball terror. The only guy in Boston to really, really, really sort of go, fuck, man, I think we can win this. And of course they didn't. But also, and meanwhile, Markel Fultz is sitting on that Sixers bench going, aw, TJ McConnell's better than me. Brutal. TJ McConnell, mate, undrafted, 19-5-7. Better than Lonzo Ball and Markel Fultz, I'll tell you that much. And big dick Ben Simmons, 19-13-5. Good bounce back game. So look, there you go. That was a pretty good better than Lonzo Ball. Couple of options there. So let's move on to Yenaz right after these ones.
G'day. This is Thon McCurr, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we're back. It's NBA Straya. It's time for Yeah Nah, where we take three NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, was Detroit Pistons fucking up their last 4 years all Stan Van Gundy's fault? Yeah Nah. Yeah, I mean, of fucking course it was. There's literally no one else to blame. He was the coach, GM, El Presidente of fucking everything. So it's all his fault. Like, that means Reggie Jackson, John Lewis' contract, Andre Drummond's development, taking Luke Kennard over Donovan Mitchell, Stanley Johnson, Henry Allenson, fucking the Blake Griffin trade. Holy shit, man. We all had like these amazing dreams, like, oh man, Stan's gonna go to Detroit. They've got Andre Drummond. It's gonna be like fucking Dwight Howard 2.0. Yeah, nah, didn't quite work out that way. I don't know. Stan just like, it always felt like it wasn't quite modern enough, which is pretty ironic considering he's the guy who kind of was really like, all right, fuck it. We'll just have a rim running big and 3-point shooters and that's gonna be it. It just never clicked like that ever in Detroit. Like there was one run where they make the playoffs, they get fucking their ass handed to them by LeBron. Yes, it was close, but they still got swept. And you're like, come on, man. Like, why does this not make sense? And you realize, you look at their cap and you look at their contracts, you're like, oh, they've got, like, no good players. That's fucking shit. Like, Stanley Johnson, Henry Ellenson. Like, what development have we seen out of those guys? Luke Kennard this year as well, like, especially picking him over Donovan fucking Mitchell. Holy shit, man. Reggie Jackson's all been hurt the entire time. I don't know. Detroit, bit of a shit show, I'll tell you that much. So there you go. All Stan Van Gundy's fault. Now it's going to be very interesting to see whoever takes over there. Be interesting if Buds goes there, perhaps. Maybe Steve Clifford kind of. I don't know. It's just some more retread shit, though. Weird. Anyway, so moving on. Should Toronto really be forced to change its name to LeBronto? Yes, no, yes, yes, yeah, nah, yeah, of course they got it. It's how it goes now. It's the rules. You lose 10 straight in the playoffs to LeBron. Your name is Toronto. It's now LeBronto. Blow up the Raps. Yeah, nah, yes. I mean, what are you going to do? Come on, man, run it back again when you spent this entire year going, okay, motherfuckers, one seed, this is it. We shoot threes now. Now it's the time to fuck this old man LeBron. And then you get swept by LeBron in the conference semis. You gotta fucking do something. Holy shit. Like, fuck that shit up. Blow it up. Get rid of everybody. Oh, geez. Best of luck there, Masai Ujiri. We'll talk about that at length throughout the offseason and everything, but goddamn, it just feels pretty fucking dire at the moment, doesn't it? Moving on. Should the Raptors be moved to Seattle? Don't want these sad sack bitch-ass motherfuckers, man. Come on. That's fucking horrible. They can keep depressing Toronto, not Seattle. Would you pay a fuck ton of money to watch Terry Rozé and Joel Embiid fight? Take all my money. This was fucking great last night. I didn't mention at the top because it was so fun. And it's way more of a yeah, nah. That would be, you know, that Terry Rozier would actually fucking be up for that as well. Man, I'd fight that motherfucker. Come on. I'm Terry Rozier. I'm Scary Terry. I'm Terry Rozier. Joel Embiid's like, he tried to punch me twice. Too bad he's so short he couldn't get to my face. Some pretty good smack talk. Just watch Terry go at it in Boston tomorrow night. Holy shit, that'd be great. But man, pay-per-view, I'd be like, just take all my money. Take all of it. All the money I've got, it's yours. Jesus. Unbelievable. All right, and then final one. Is there a chance that the Philadelphia 76ers can come back from 3-0 down? Yeah, nah. Nah. Come on, man. The Celtics are too good and too well-coached to lose four straight, right? Including two at home when they've not lost their all postseason. Yeah, it's a bit too tough, I reckon. So, it hurts. It hurts my heart. Want Big Simo, keep on going. Let's get it to 7, though, at least. Come on, man. All right, so there you go. That was some good yeah nahs. We've got some more in the can for tomorrow as well, so that'll be way more fun. So, moving on to the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me, the unpopular opinion of the day. Trade everybody on the Raptors except the young dudes. And even then, if you can move them for like some other shit, why not fucking do it? Denver, I mean, they could roll the dice on a Kyle Lowry trade, right? Just send DeMar DeRozan to LA. He wants to go there anyway. Just fucking do it. Oh, Jesus. I can smell a tasty blow-up right there in Toronto. Yeah, LeBronto. It's all over, pal. Man, I've never seen anyone own fucking another franchise quite like LeBronto is owned by LeBron. That is amazing. So, I don't know if that's an unpopular opinion. I feel like everyone's kind of like, man, fuck these Raptors. That's how it goes. So, let's move on to Outback Takehouse. It's Tuesday. Come into Outback Takehouse for some flame-grilled takes and double shrimp. It's Double Shrimp Tuesdays. And also a couple of beers like Foster's at Outback Takehouse. Today's Outback Takehouse, the Philadelphia 76ers will be the first team in NBA history to come back from 3-0 down. Outback Takehouse. I mean, I don't really believe that, but that's a pretty good take. And if they do it, it'd be pretty amazing. Can you see it happening? I don't know. All right, let's get on to the NBA Australian Player Watch right after, let's say, these ones. This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Australia. All right, we're back. It's Australian Player Watch. We've got two Aussies in action last night. As mentioned, Ben Simmons, huge win over the Celtics in Game 4 at home. 19 points, shoots 6 of 15 from the field, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, looked much more comfortable, didn't fuck up any dunks, had a really nice sort of, on-court sort of kismet-y kind of celestial feel with TJ McConnell at times, didn't he? Like, holy shit, these two work really well together. They both scored 19, both look good, assists are flying everywhere. Joel Embiid didn't have a great one and they still won. A lot of that was thanks to Big Ben and fucking little TJ. So not bad, man. 19 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. Anya, Big Ben. And how about bangers? Aaron Baines in game 4. 9 points. Goes 2 of 7 from the field. 2 of 6 from 3. Aaron Baines. 3-pointers. Unbelievable. He's launching fucking 6 of them now. Can you believe that? In one game, Aaron Baines shoots 6 fucking threes. He hit 2 of them. That actually sort of dropped his postseason average a little bit too, but still almost shooting 50% from 3. That is unfucking real, man. On your bangers. So 9 points, 6 rebounds, and a block last night. The block was pretty spectacular too. So on your bangers. Good shit. Keep it up. That's some pretty good stuff from the two Aussies. So let's move on to it is Tuesday. So what do we do on Tuesdays? Oh, can you feel it? Can you feel it? Oh, I feel it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, I am healed. It is time for the Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot Random Bloke Going Ham of the Week Award. And now, interestingly enough, it was Sean Marion's birthday yesterday. And what better time to go back to when he went absolutely fucking nuts in a massive closeout game against the Mavericks in 2005 that went to overtime in the West Semis. It's basically the same time as this, 13 years ago. The Phoenix Suns. The Steve Nash Phoenix Suns finally get over the hump. 38 points, 13 to 28 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3 with that ugly ass shot, 16 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 1 block in 51 minutes by Sean Marion. That is going fucking ham, motherfucker. This was an insane game as well. Steve Nash had 39 points himself and got his revenge on the Mavs, and the 7 seconds or less Suns were just kicking it the fuck off, man. They lost in the Spurs in the Western Conference Finals, but still, this was an amazing fucking game. Goes to overtime. The Mavs, Dirk, he goes fucking bit bananas. Jet Terry had 36, and it was great. So Sean Marion, 38 points. Steve Nash, 39, but it was Sean Marion's birthday, so he gets the Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot Random Bloke Going Ham of the Week. 38 points, 16 rebounds, and an overtime playoff closeout win against the Mavs in 05. That was great. Hey, and also, I also caught a plane from Mexico with Sean Marion one time. That was fun. But anyway, how about some more old-timey shit? Because May 7, I don't know, it was like yesterday here, so we had some great stuff. Because May 7, it's like an important date in NBA history. And some other blokes went hard as motherfuckers. So Michael Jordan, May 7, 1989, hits the shot over Craig Elo for the 101-100 victory. Bulls beating the Cavs. Unbelievable. In 89 first round playoffs. Unreal. Good job, Jordan. 1994, May 7. The Denver Nuggets, the 8th seed, beat my Seattle Supersonics, the top seed. The first time a 8th seed had upset a 1 seed. And obviously had the Dikembe Mutombo falling to the floor, crying, clutching the ball as Sean Kemp. My man, I'm actually wearing a Sean Kemp jersey right now doing this. Wandered up the floor in disbelief. And May 7, 1995, Reggie Miller scored 8 points in 9 seconds, basically, in the final 16.4 seconds of the game. Unbelievable. And then this time in 2017, May 7, in 2017 and 2018, the Cleveland Cavaliers defeated the Toronto Raptors in the Eastern Conference Semis, sweeping them both times. They did the exact same thing on the same date, 2 years running. Unbelievable. Unfucking believable. That's pretty inspiring. But we'll get to the Patty Mills Game Day Bullet Inspiration Board right after these words. And that was a fun one, wasn't it? Going back in time. May 7. What a fucking weird date. All right, so we're back with the Patty Mills Game Day Bullet Game Day Inspiration Board right after, let's say, this one.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Straya, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right, we're back. It's NBA Straya. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board. And you know what? No one has really been tweeting that much inspiring sort of stuff. God damn it, Dally. God damn it, Thon. Come on, dudes, help us out. No Joe Ingles, no Patty. So we're going to swing over to Andrew Bogut, and he retweeted a dude named Alistair McAlpine, who was basically There's a nice hashtag at the end of this one. So Bogut retweets this guy. He says, delivered a 450-gram baby. Told she was too small, had no chance. She kept stopping breathing, so stayed up with her for 2 nights, rubbing her chest for every breath. Consultant said I was wasting my time. She just performed her first ballet as a healthy six-year-old. Hashtag share a story in one tweet. Oh, that's inspiring. That's fucking great. On your Bogut, way to send that out. That was good. It wasn't obviously Bogut who did that, but somebody retweeted. So it's still inspiring. That's fucking great. So let's get on to the game previews for Tuesday night. It's time for game previews. Game previews. What do you think, inadvertent Bane?
I believe we shall smash cans and watch these games.
All right. If you say so, inadvertent Bane. Jazz at Rockets. Can the Jazz get him again in Houston? Oh, I can't really see it. So this is 3-1. The one game that they've won, the Jazz, was in Houston, but their defense just hasn't been as good as advertised because Gobert has been so ineffective while he's been on the court with Clint Capella, because Houston just used Capella like in switches and basically everything to negate a little bit of Gobert, especially on offense. It's fucking hard, man. So their defense just doesn't quite click as easily it has throughout the season, and especially how it did against OKC. And then their perimeter D without Rubio and Dante, with this one will be fucked. Can't really see that happening. So I believe Rubio's already been called out of this game. He's like, it's not going to happen. So that's tough, man. Tough one. Look, I can't really see the Jazz winning this. Can you? Really? He's out. It's tough, so... I don't know, man. Fuck. Look, I reckon Harden has 44 or something without Dante and Rubio out there. And everyone's like, oh my God, Harden's good in the playoffs now. Damn it. So sorry. Not sorry, Jazz. I think this is it. This is tough. But I kind of think the Rockets roll. I hope they don't, because I want the Aussies to stay in a bit longer. But yeah, I think give me the Rockets at home. They take care of business. Yeah. How it goes. Sad times. Rockets win that. So Pelicans at Warriors, second game of the night. I think the Pels might maybe surprise everyone, sneak this one out somehow, get everyone freaking out about the Warriors on the flip side though. Maybe. But it all depends on Anthony Davis having a monster fucking game. Jrue doing Jrue stuff. He's been really good the last couple of games as well, but hasn't quite hit the same heights as he did against the Blazers, because, you know, it turns out when you can put Kevin Durant or Iguodala or Klay Thompson on Jrue Holiday, it's a little bit better than putting Dame Lillard or CJ McCollum on him. Oh, Jesus. I don't know. Maybe for the Pelicans to win this, maybe Rondo needs to straight up fucking fight Draymond. I mean, they've been dancing around it all fucking series. Maybe that'll get him going. Nico Mirotic, hello, needs to wake up. Had a shit one the last one. Ah, man. All that said, I can't see it all going that right. The Coward could have 40. Very easily. The Coward, Kevin Durant, and the Dork could have 35, and that'd be all she wrote. But, look, give me the Pelicans. Fuck it. I kind of think they might have a bit of a surprise up their sleeve. I kind of expect that surprise to be in Game 4 and for them to tie it up 2-2. But maybe, just maybe. If not, I think it's tight. Yeah. Give me the Pelicans. Fuck it. I just don't want to sit there and go for the Rockets and Warriors. Let's delay that a little bit longer. Get these playoffs keep rolling a little bit more. I don't want both teams to be closed out and go fishing. It's tough. All right, speaking of going fishing, that's it for us today. Oh, shit, that's been NBA Australia for today. We'll be back tomorrow with more ridiculousness, as you've come to expect. It's just what we do day in, day out here at NBA Australia. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at NBA Australia. Like us on Facebook. All the good stuff. Instagram, all that shit. Don't forget to subscribe to NBA Australia on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever else you get all your... podcast. Give us a rating and review while you're at it. Just scroll down a little bit. Just go bang, 5 stars, you little ripper. Chuck a review in there. Go, this dickhead's a dickhead, but fucking why not? Tell a mate as well. Get them listening. That's fucking radical. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out House Hats, the best band in Australia. Their new single Stop is an absolute pearler, and they play the Corner Hotel May 19 as a massive, massive, massive Back to the Corner show with the Celibate Rifles X and Painters and Dockers. It's going to be fucking cool. There are maybe some tickets left. It was selling really fucking well. So give it a peep. They're fucking awesome. House Hats. What a band. Extra special thanks to legends at Green Green Green, Iowa, Fascinator, Dozers, Sex Jedi, and the Ramshack Limey for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. Check them all out on Bandcamp and Facey. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And if you're in a band or your mates are in bands, hey, man, send them through. I'll play it. Why the fuck not? And that's it. Stick around for a brand new Joe Ingles HR Manager. And we will catch us tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, hoes on. G'day. It's Joe Ingles here, in for my usual front-facing weekly appointment in the NBA Australia office. Taking a break from the playoffs, smashing threes and talking shit to answer your HR questions as NBA Australia's resident HR manager. And yeah, I'm a bit sad because we're 3-1 down to the Rockets, but it's okay. I've always got my HR degree to fall back onto. That's right, I didn't go to uni in Canberra and live all the way around this big blue marble we call the planet Earth just in order to play basketball. I also got my human resources degree, so I'm the most qualified to help out with any questions you might have about pretty much any topic here at NBA Australia. After all, the first thing you learn in human resources is that humans are resources. So, let's get to today's question. It comes from Kyle in LeBronto. Dear Joe, I just don't get it, man. I am within an organization that's seemingly successful, and personally, I am very well remunerated. But each year we run into the same competition and get handily beat out for the biggest prize in our industry. We always give it our best shot, but there's a firm in Ohio that always just has a better proposal than us. What should I do? Keep trying or jump ship and move to another organization far away so I don't have to worry about that firm in Ohio? Thanks for your time, Kyle LeBronto. Ah, oh, thanks for taking the time to write in, Kyle. And yes, look, every workplace presents numerous unique challenges, and navigating trying times for any organization can be particularly difficult, especially when it feels like you're always facing insurmountable odds. But as a HR manager, I always say push for what's best for the company. If you're not moving forward, you're stagnating. And if the best way to move forward is to take a drastic course of action, including reducing headcount or headhunting employees in your field, then I'd be all for it. After all, that's where HR manager Joe Ingles shines. The best way to go about it is to call it aggressive restructuring in order to optimize intersectional department synergy. Make sure you take long meetings in boring boardrooms to hash out a new, long-winded business approach that'll ensure management keep their jobs or get a nice payout, and everyone can say, see, we are doing something. That way, you get a fresh new approach and keep up appearances of being a strong and healthy organization who's not afraid of making the tough decisions. Oh, and make sure to keep the rest of your fellow employees in the dark. That way, when it hits, they don't steal office supplies. Easy. So, after all, as we say in HR, the best way forward is to fire everyone but the HR department. And if you're not convinced of the way your company is going and still has no chance of getting over that hump in Ohio, you could always just leave. So there you go, Kyle. I'd suggest an aggressive restructuring. And best of luck. I hope you and your fellow employees can get past this adversity, focus your human resources, and enjoy a healthy workplace environment and organizational success. Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. I've been Joe Ingles, and this has been the H&R Q&A session on NBA Australia.